We said that in order for a malacha to be a malacha, it's not just what you do, but the thought behind it is important. Since we learn malacha from the Mishkan, and by the Mishkan it says maleches machsheves, right? Thoughtful, important work. That's both ideas. Machsheves can also mean chashuv, important, and machsheves can also be machshava, right? And the two really go together. Something done without thought is usually not important. So but that which makes it important work is work that's thought out, planned, and done in a certain, what's the word I'm looking for? Organized way. So there are therefore certain conditions that would make a malacha, not a malacha, even though you did the actual physical action, but that's not what the Torah was talking about. Was not only talking about the physical action, it was talking about a host of other conditions that make that physical action also on Shabbos. Okay, now most of the time, if you do the physical action, but you don't have all of these mental conditions, it's still going to be prohibited rabbinically. So for all practical purposes, it's not going to permit that thing to be done on Shabbos, with certain exceptions. But at least it's rabbinic. It's not a Torah prohibition, even though listening to the rabbis is important, and the Torah wants you to listen to the rabbis, and doing an Isser Darabanan because you don't believe in the power of the rabbis is worse than being over on Isser Torah, right? Rabbeinu Yonah says because every Isser Darabanan is a Chiyuv Misa, it's a death penalty, right? Min HaShemayim, in the heavens, right? Because the Rabbeinu Yonah says because usually people are over Isser Darabanan because they don't believe that they have that power. That they don't believe that the Torah delegated that power, that's kfirah. And kfirah is a much worse aveira than just doing something because your yetzahara got you to do it because you like a nice ham sandwich or cheeseburger or something like that. Right? If you don't believe, it's a worse aveira. And usually people are over Yisrael Drabbanan because they don't believe. But still, this is an Yisrael Drabbanan, and it's less serious than an Isser Deraisa, especially if you're not doing it because you don't believe, you're doing it for reasons other than that. Okay? So therefore, it's important to know if something is a Torah prohibition, then the rabbis were extra careful and prohibited other things because maybe you'll come to the Torah prohibition. If something is only a rabbinic prohibition, then many times the rabbis didn't make their fence around rabbinic prohibitions. They didn't make a fence around the fence, only the fence around the Torah thing. And therefore, if something is only rabbinic, it may be permitted with certain other conditions met, which wouldn't permit something that is from the Torah. The rabbis have a right to limit their prohibitions. They have no right to limit Torah prohibitions. So if something's prohibited from the Torah, then it's prohibited usually across the board. But the rabbis have a right to say if we're prohibiting it, it's only rabbinic, then we can give certain conditions where that rabbinic prohibition will be suspended. So it's important to know which things are from the Torah and which things are rabbinic. There are other differences also. Something that was done on Shabbos, right? And it's a Torah prohibition. There's certain laws that apply to it of what you're allowed to benefit and who can benefit and when you can benefit from it. So rabbinic prohibition is different laws, right? There's certain things are what you can tell a goy to do. Torah prohibition has certain laws. Rabbinic prohibition, different laws. So there are differences between the severity and the halachas that apply to Torah prohibitions and rabbinic prohibitions, and therefore it's important to know what's a Torah prohibition, what's a rabbinic prohibition. So let's go to at least some of the things, some of the list. The first one is eino miskaven. We hold that in order for something to be a Torah prohibition, this doesn't only apply to Shabbos, it applies to other Isurim also, you have to have intention to do the prohibition. But if you don't intend to do that thing, that's wrong. You have an intention to do something else, and this is just a result of it, or a possible result, then it's not prohibited from the Torah. Okay? The classic example of eino miskaven is the following. You want to pull a lawn chair across the lawn, okay? And then you change it a little bit to make it more... the lawn chair could rip up grass, could be it won't, right? You're not sure. Sometimes it will rip up grass, sometimes not. It doesn't always, when you pull that lawn chair on the grass, doesn't always rip up grass. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Your intention is not to rip up grass. You're not concerned b'chlal about ripping up grass. You just want to get that chair from point A to point B, and it's too heavy for you to pick up. or it's uncomfortable to pick up, so you want to drag it. Since it won't always pick up, rip up grass, it could, but it could be that it won't. You're allowed to, here you're allowed to drag the chair across the grass, even though it's possible to rip up grass, and even if it rips up grass, you haven't desecrated the Shabbos. You're allowed the chatchila to pull the thing across the grass, even though it's possible to rip up grass, since it's possible it won't. Since the chair is not that heavy, then every time you drag it, it always rips up grass. If, however, it always rips up grass, it's heavy enough, or it's sharp enough, or whatever, that if you, any time you'll ever pull it across grass, it's going to rip up some grass, then that's called a psikresha. Psikresha literally means the following. Person says, I want to cut off this chicken's head, but I don't want a chicken to die, I just want to use the head for a badminton thing, what's it called, a tennis ball, or whatever. So I'm not interested really in killing the chicken, I really want to just cut off its head to use the head, right? So I'm not interested in the chicken dying. That's called a psikresha. Psikresha v'lo yamus. You can't cut off a chicken's head and it shouldn't die. The two actions are intricately dependent, one on the other. So therefore, having intention to cut off the head is having intention to kill the chicken. If every time you pull this chair on the grass, it's so heavy that it pulls up grass, you can't say, I intend to pull the chair and not to pull up grass, because the two actions are equal. Pulling the chair and pulling up grass are the same action, because it always happens. So if it always happens, then it's also to do, and if you do it, and you do pull up grass, then you're what's supposed to also to do, whether you're lucky and no grass gets pulled up this time by a miracle, right? You still transgressed at least the rabbinic prohibition of pulling that chair, and if you pull up the grass, you're chayiv. You get what's it called, the Torah prohibition. Yeah.
What if it's a new chair and you've never pulled it across before? But it's not that heavy, and maybe it won't, but then again...
And that's a different kind of thing. That's called the suffix psikresha. Psikresha means that you know that this action sometimes pulls up grass and sometimes doesn't. Okay? That is mutter. Okay, but what happens if either it always pulls up grass or it doesn't? But you don't know which of those two, your case, okay? You have another example of suffix psikresha, which is the classical case. It's dark in the room, okay? And you want to close a drawer. And you're not sure if there are flies in the drawer or not. If there are flies in the drawer and you close the drawer, you've trapped the flies. And that's prohibited. If there aren't any flies in the drawer, right, then if you close the drawer, you're not catching any flies. If there are flies, every time you close the drawer, it catches the flies. So here, we're not sure, is it a psikresha or not? It's a suffix psikresha. I'm not sure if the action I'm doing is something that's a psikresha, or it's something that's bechlal, not a psikresha. That is a machlokes. The way we paskin is that's also also. Can't do that either. The other case is, I know what I'm doing. I know what the results are, but the results aren't always the same. Right? This action doesn't always result, in any case, in the malacha being done, in the grass being pulled up. Then that's called psikresha. That's called eno miskaven without a psikresha. But where the action I'm going to do may always cause it, or may not cause it, right? It's not what this specific action is going to cause, but it's, I'm not sure what this action is altogether. Then that's awesome. Yeah.
What's the difference between like pulling your head and
if you don't know the difference between combing your hair and brushing your teeth, I don't want to use your...
That's sort of it, but like, that's coming from us, it's like your hair falling out,
isn't it?
And that's
theory. Again, right, that would be an example. Combing your hair, right, if you every time you comb your hair, you pull out hairs, right, so, and you say, I only want to comb my hair, I don't want to pull out hairs, that's prohibited. Or every time you brush your teeth, it causes your gums to bleed.
What happens if your hair and your gums don't bleed?
Okay, so the Rabbanan asked combing your hair because for most people it does cause things. That's why if you use a soft brush, which sometimes at least doesn't pull out hair, that could be okay. But a comb, the rabbi said, 99% of people combs pull out hair. So even though you may be an exception because you're bald, so if you want to comb your bald head, right, I mean you, the, right, the, I mean, that's why I said I didn't mean you. The, Right. So if you happen to be bald and you're still a low plume, the rabbis prohibited that because the 99% of the time combs pull out hair. They didn't prohibit brushing your hair because that really depends on the person, on the brush or whatever. It's not a given. Brushing your teeth, therefore, the same thing. The rabbis never made a special prohibition of brushing your teeth because everybody, aside from other prohibitions of brushing your teeth, which have to do with the toothpaste and the water or whatever, right, just using a dry toothbrush, if you know that your gums are not that sensitive, that every time you brush your teeth, your gums bleed, even if they could bleed, but you know that there are times when you brush and it doesn't bleed and times that you brush that it does, right? And also, if you don't brush, so hard, then it's possible it won't bleed, right? Then theoretically you're allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos without toothpaste or whatever. There are other problems with brushing your teeth. But just using a dry toothbrush where the only problem is your gums bleeding, if it's not something that definitely will make your gums bleed, even if it's possible, and sometimes it does, still mutter to do. Yeah.
Sorry, just an aside. What about cyanide?
Right about?
Cyanide.
I mean the liquid stuff? Okay, that takes away one possible prohibition of mimareach, but it doesn't take away, it depends what the bristles of the toothbrush are made out of. It could be that it's shechita, that by putting it on the bristles and putting pressure, you're squeezing out the bristles from the liquid, which is also a problem. Right? If the bristles are something that's not porous at all, they're nylon or whatever, according to some opinions, that's not a problem. According to some, it's still a problem. So there's still problems with using that if you put it on the toothbrush. If you put it on your teeth, right, and then have a dry toothbrush that you brush around this liquid on your key, that's less of a problem. Yeah?
You mentioned about the chair, and I found that. What happens if 85% of the time you call it grass? What is the percentage that we're doing?
No. Even if it's 99%. Well, that's not really true. If it's something that's almost always, it's rare that it goes, that's called a psychration. If it's something that is not rare, rare usually is 20%. Anything more than 20% is not called rare. 20% or less of a chance is called rare, and that probably would still be considered segregation. Yeah, but again, these kind of things, it's hard to make percentages, yeah?
Am I allowed to approach the whole thing by saying, well, if I do this really soft, then it's even less rare, so I'm going to brush my hair with a regular brush, but I'm going to do it really soft.
Where there's no specific prohibition like combing, brushing, they didn't assert specifically. If you know that with the kind of brush you have, if you brush your hair the way you normally brush and don't put extra pressure, that it doesn't always pull out hairs, then the harder you're allowed to brush your hair like that on Shabbos. Yeah.
If while the person is dragging the bench and he sees that grass is being pulled out, to give the stuff?
No. Because unless he doesn't know that he doesn't always pull out grass. But he knows that he's done this during the week, sometimes he's pulled out grass and sometimes not, even if he pulls out grass, there's no issue. No, it means that this time, pull that grass, that's not a situation.
That means we know that actually you will be doing it, will do it, that's okay.
No, because the next bit that you pull may not do it. Right? It doesn't make a situation. It means that at that point, it pulled out the grass. Every item is covered like that. And sometimes it'll do it, sometimes not. So just because 2 seconds ago it did it, doesn't mean the next 2 seconds is going to do it.
No, if you're dragging
it,
doesn't
come out. Dragging something.
Right. No. Sometimes the grass will get caught into it. It's not pulling up the grass because it's so heavy that it always pulls up the grass. It's not that heavy, so sometimes things get tangled and they get pulled up, and sometimes they don't. So at this time it got tangled, the next 2 seconds may not get tangled.
Mm-hmm.
If now you see that you made a mistake. That now it's so heavy with this kind of grass that it's pulling up grass constantly, then that is a situation. It's not because you saw you made a mistake. You thought it wasn't a situation, it is a situation. But just because it pulls up grass part of the time doesn't make it a situation. That's if you do it during the week and you pull it 10 times, and out of those 10 times, sometimes it pulled up grass and sometimes not, then it's not a situation. Even if on Shabbos, right, and on Shabbos it's going to come out that 5 out of 10 times it's going to pull up grass. Just like during the week. Still, that 5 out of 10 times doesn't make a difference because that's not what you intended to do and it didn't have to happen. So even though it happened, that doesn't make it awesome. That's not a psikresha. Okay, there is another issue over here, and that is psikresha de lo nichale, which is something special to Shabbos. There's psikresha that you are interested in that psikresha of happening. There's a psikresha that you're not interested in happening. Either you're not interested or you really don't want it to happen, but it happens automatically. It could be that psikresha de lo nichale, some people hold is mutter. We don't pass them like that. Psikresha de lo nichale is also prohibited. But here, it may be only prohibited rabbinically, and therefore it's of a lower level. And I'll give you an example of psikresha lo nichale. You open your refrigerator, right, and there's a light that goes on when you open the refrigerator. So I don't really want that light on, right? My intention is not to turn on the light. My intention is to open the refrigerator door. But every time you open the refrigerator door, the light goes on. So that's a psikresha. So you can't open the door because the light's going on. If it's night, I want the light to go on because I can't see right what's in the refrigerator without the light. So in the daytime, I would rather the light doesn't go on because it saves me electricity, right, and saves the bulb. But Lamaisa, it's Shabbos, I can't turn off the bulb. And if I have to open the refrigerator, right, and it's a psikresha, the light's going to go on, but that's psikresha, the lo nichale. It's either lo nichale, I don't really care, that's one kind of lo nichale, or here it could be even worse. I don't want it really to go on. I'd be very happy if, by accident, the light disengaged during the day. Okay, and when I open the door, the light won't go on. I don't want that light, right? It's cost me money.
During the week, you don't shut it off.
Right? Okay, but it's still, if you think about it, right, if I wanted to take the time, I would take it out. I don't really want that, and not only that, it could be that I'm not interested in it. The cloud, it's negative to me. But, so therefore, it's still usher to open it. According to the way we hold, psikresha lo nichale is least usher. You're not allowed to do it. You can't open the refrigerator door. But, it's very possible it's only rabbinic. And therefore, right, there may be heterin of opening that door with the light, right, that apply to rabbinic prohibitions, that if it had been a Torah prohibition, those heterin wouldn't apply. Stam to open it, you can't. But there may be other leniencies that you could do, since it's only a psikresha lo nichale, and it's only rabbinic, that you could be lenient by maybe telling a goy to do it or something like that. I'm not saying that's really relevant, it's not. But maybe by telling a goy, maybe that if somebody opened the refrigerator and took out food, that the food would be permissible to eat because what they did was only rabbinically prohibited and not Torah prohibited. If they actually opened it, and all the food, the only way they got the food out is by opening it, right? And so, therefore, it's a result of something done prohibited on Shabbos, since only rabbinic, and they didn't know or whatever, it could be that's permitted. Had it been a Torah prohibition, it would be prohibited. Okay, so we have now the classification. I thought we were going to get to all of them. We have eight here, so we got to one. One is this idea of eino miskaven. I don't have intention to do the malacha, and if it doesn't have to happen, that's mutter. Okay? And if it has to happen, it's aser from the Torah. If it has to happen, but it's lo nichale, I don't want it, I'm not interested in it, then it could be it's only prohibited rabbinically. And a psikresha l'sha'avar, or a psikresha, suffix psikresha, where either the thing always has to happen, or it's not going to happen at all, right? That's also called a psikresha, and that's also. Awesome.